Hi, Casey. This is Ahmed from Gaper. Gaper is Tinder for software engineers and startups. So welcome to our show today.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, it's great to know that you have worked at NASA. You are working in neuroscience, something on the side of medical devices as well. You have also worked in the software engineering side. And now you have a startup, Hubly Surgical, which is all about cranial and orthopedic. I don't know all the jargon, so how about you take it from here and you tell best about what you do?
Of course. So my background is in more of the neuroscience academia, bioengineering academia side, and I can kind of give a short history if you'd like. But where it all ends up is that I am full-time founder, CEO of Hubly Surgical, and I've been full-time since December of 2019. And so I already hit my 1 year anniversary of being full-time on this company. And what we do is we are a cranial and orthopedic drilling solution, which aims to make surgery safer. And so to parse that down even more, right now we have a drill, which at post FDA clearance can be used in neurosurgeries. And again, the goal is that our drill has safety features, fail-safe mechanisms to make this procedure better for, you know, reducing complications for patients, saving lives, easier to use for the surgeons, and ultimately, because of all of that, saving hospitals money.
How did you come about this idea? Like, this is not something you would like just pick off the shelf and get it going, right?
Yeah, I actually, this idea came from a class at Northwestern. I enrolled in this medical device entrepreneurship MBA class at Northwestern Kellogg. And it was because, you know, I had this background in neuroscience, bioengineering, a little bit of software, and I wanted to kind of put all of that together and do something that could help the world. So I enrolled in this class, and that's where I met my co-founder, Dr. Amit Air. And he is a neurosurgeon. He's currently at Stanford Hospital, but at the time he was at Northwestern and he was getting his MBA at night. And it was really Amit who came up with this idea originally, because he's the one who said, you know, I drill holes into people's heads every single day. And the tools that we use for that are incredibly antiquated and frankly medieval. And I think that there's really something we can do about it. And so we came together over our shared background and interest in neurology. And together we came up with our improved solution for this problem that he had identified.
Right. So how many engineering teams, how much people you have in the team? Do you work all remotely or you still get in a room and do the stuff together?
So our engineering is headquartered in Chicago. And so my technical co-founder, Tyler, he's awesome. He's our head of engineering and he has a very, very expert background in medical device R&D, working for a lot of small startups and spearheading R&D, and he's built products of class 1 through 3 regulatory classes. But anyway, so Tyler's based in Chicago, and we've been mostly remote. We have a couple other engineers, consultants who kind of help out together in the Chicago area. They do cadaver studies at Northwestern Hospital, where we have another member of our team, Nikhil. He's a neurosurgeon at Northwestern. Currently. And I am in and out of Chicago, kind of overseeing this process. Beyond that, I mean, we are a hardware company, so the engineering and testing needs to be in the same spot. But beyond that, all of the business personnel, a lot of the medical personnel, we are distributed.
Right. Because the kind of startup you have are the most difficult ones to run remotely. Right.
Exactly.
Because I am associated with a hardware startup as well. So I totally understand that. How do you make a board if you're not in the lab? Right.
Right.
Or you set up your own lab and if you have five engineers, everyone sets up his own lab, right? That's very, very difficult to manage. So how are you?
Exactly.
In what I see is that most of the time, Hubli Surgical, most of the work you have done is through this COVID period, right? So
yep.
did you face a lot of delays and all that stuff due to COVID, or you are managing well?
At the very, very beginning, I want to say back in February, we had some delays with ordering parts because we had been ordering parts out of China, and there was all sorts of complications when, COVID, the first surge started in Wuhan. That was complicated. But ever since then, ever since that first, late February to early March, I would say we haven't really had any delays. I mean, we now source our parts. We've been sourcing our parts domestically for product development for the last 8 months. And we've been able to have no problem with shipping, with having our teams kind of work socially distanced in Chicago. And I think part of that is that we had to get really creative with care package handoffs, where, our engineer would make a bunch of different prototypes, and he'd put all these different testing materials in, he'd put it all in a package, and then he'd drop it off at our neurosurgeon's house, the one that works at Northwestern. And then the neurosurgeon would then test it, and he'd be calling, FaceTiming Tyler and figuring out exactly what he needs to do. And then he'd drop the box back off at Tyler's house. So again, it was kind of that creativity which allowed us to really work pretty efficiently.
That's really interesting to know, because most of the hardware people I talk to, I don't hear the same answer. So I appreciate it.
It helps that we're really small right now. I think it would be different if we had a huge engineering team, but because there's really only a few people, it's much, much easier to coordinate in this virtual world.
Right. And the most efficient and effective startups are the ones usually who have very small teams. So that's how the startup world works. So working remotely, do you use a lot of tools like task management, queue management, Gantt charts, Trello, or you just talk and get the stuff done?
Again, I think it's because we're a relatively small team right now. We use primarily like Google Drive, Google Docs, Slack. I mean, Slack and Zoom are essential. That's, I'm constantly checking Slack and using Zoom. But in terms of project management, it's really, it's mostly just via Slack, via talking. Again, we tried out some project management tools at the very beginning because we said we're virtual, we've got enough people that this makes sense, but we ended up realizing that it was kind of putting a little bit too much overhead, whereas everyone kind of understood what the mission was each week. So we really mostly rely on our standups. It's a typical software engineering thing. We have standups, make sure everyone's on the same page, Zoom standups. And then from there, we just are in constant communication. And it works out really well for this current small group of people. As we add more people to the team, we'll definitely be adding more project management tools.
Right. And how about the culture? Because creating a culture in a remote environment, culture of work, culture of knowing each other, there's no water cooler talk, there's no kitchen talk, right? So do you really think about this stuff and give it time, or it just goes naturally?
Yeah, so it's funny that you say that, because Tyler joined in February, right before COVID. So I did work with him in person for less than a month maybe before we made everything virtual. And then we've hired, we've had all these consultants and interns that have worked with us over the last year, and they've been completely virtual the whole time. And I would say the culture was a very conscious decision, but the culture was that we, the leadership, absolutely care about the mission of this company so much. And we are, we we work because we enjoy it. We work because we really care about the end result. We want to make sure that we're helping everyone. And so everyone that joins the team, I think, understands that, look, we at the top are working really hard and we just want to help out everyone and make sure that everything gets done. It's not about, there's no ladder to climb when you're this small. There's no backstabbing. It's all about just how can we get this deliverable ready? And so we've been, you know, it's a combination of luck and skill when it comes to hiring, where everyone we've hired has fit into that culture or adapted to that culture really easily, where they all say, look, you know, they get their work done and then they say, all right, who else needs help? What else can I do? And of course, when people need days off for whatever reason, that's fine. And no one takes advantage of that system.
And do you want to stay remote after the pandemic, or you are eager to get back into the same place and get going together?
It's going to end up being a hybrid. So of course, the engineering, I'm so excited for that to not be remote anymore. You know, our engineers need to, and our neurosurgeons really need to work in person. For myself, for, you know, our website designer, our graphic designer, our business analyst, people like that, our lawyers, our accountants, we're looking forward to continuing being remote for, you know, people that are not working with the hardware directly. Again, that's going to be a hybrid model where I am very comfortable with our patent corporate lawyers and our accountants doing everything remote. For me personally, I want to be in person as much as possible. However, I have a lot of conferences. I have a lot of investor meetings that are kind of all over the country. And so my job really requires that I am hybrid, remote and in person. And so I'm excited that we already really, I feel, have that remote work process down.
So for the software part, do you write all the software yourself, or do you have someone else who helps you with that as well?
So we are not a software company.
The software part of the hardware you're building, right? Or there is nothing, it's pure hardware?
There's no software. Currently, there's no software in our product.
Right. And it's bound to stay that way.
Yes. Short answer, yes. I mean, in the future, of course, we'll explore different avenues of R&D, but for now and for the time being, it's entirely hardware.
Right. And for the hardware, do you see a possibility of bringing in other remote experts in long run? Right. So let's say if somebody's sitting in Texas and you think that sitting in Austin, he's the perfect person you want, right? Is there a possibility to get that person on board with the team, get going, or you really need people to be in Chicago to do that?
We would hire, and we have hired, consultant groups that are remote. For example, right now we're part of this accelerator, a hardware accelerator called NextFab. It's in Philadelphia. And they have a team of consultants that are working on some product development for us, fleshing out this one idea. However, I don't anticipate that we will hire as an employee an engineer who is not in the Chicago area.
Right, makes sense. And what about other parts? Sales, business, website, all those stuff.
That we'd be open to being distributed.
Right. And how important is it to stay within the boundary of the state or within the boundary of the country as well when you talk about exploring different options?
For now, I mean, we're very much a US-based company. So staying within the boundary of the company, I would say, is pretty important. People that understand the American market. Staying within the boundary of the state is much less important because we are all over the country. You know, our two main hospital partners are Stanford and Northwestern. But beyond that, there's a lot of hospitals that we're talking with, that we're working with, and they're all over the country. And, you know, the world of neurosurgeons is really small. I mean, there's only about 3,500 neurosurgeons in total in the U.S. Across every state. And so, state boundaries mean less to us.
Right. Makes sense. So then there are companies like Gaper, and there are many other companies who are trying to bring the remote culture, who were trying to bring the remote culture pre-19, but 2020 onwards, it's already there, right? It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And now we have the kind of load where the fulfillment has become a problem for us, right? So how do you think companies like us can help startups in adapting to remote culture, sharing our experience with them? How can we help?
Sure. I mean, step one is that hiring is everything. You know, a good team makes a good product, makes a good company. And there's absolutely nothing that's more important. So making sure that you're hiring people who know what they need to do and get it done. That's everything. Because in a remote world, it's harder to have that overhead and it's harder to micromanage, which is good. And micromanaging is really inefficient when you have team members who already know what they need to do and are good at it. So I'd say that's the number one way that you guys could really help is just making sure that you find the right fit between employee and employer.
Right. So Casey, thank you so much for being on our show today. You know, we like to keep it short because yep. We have limited time in this world, and it's good to keep the conversation short and to the point. So thank you so much for being on show today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much. Bye.